Welcome to Doc's Opinion. Today's episode begins in a familiar Icelandic setting. A cold evening, an outdoor pool almost empty, the north wind coming down from Mount Ysia, and a man stepping into a hot tub with just a little too much tension in his shoulders. If you've spent time in an Icelandic hot tub, you know how much you can see in a person before they ever say a word. How someone sits, how they breathe, where their eyes go when the steam parts. Men around 50 often carry something quiet inside them, long before anything shows up on a test or becomes a symptom, and they almost never talk about it. They tell you they're fine, they change the subject, but the body always tells a slightly different story. This piece is about that story. The subtle drift that begins in midlife, the silent strain many men feel but rarely name, and why so many of them arrive at 50 with a sense that something has shifted, even if they can't say what. The article is called Why So Many Men Feel Off at 50 and Say Nothing, and it was written by Axel F. Sigurdsson. Let's step into the steam. The outdoor pool was almost empty, the way it gets when the cold drops straight from Mount Ysia and cuts across the water. Steam drifted in uneven waves, rising, folding, breaking apart again. He stepped into the hot tub quietly, shoulders held a little too firmly. No sigh, no settling back, just a controlled descent. He sat across from me, hand on thighs, water to his collarbones. His eyes moved over the deck the way people look when they're not really seeing anything. After a moment, he looked over. Cold evening, he said. A safe line. Colder than it looks, I answered. He gave a short breath through his nose. Good night for hot water. Always. The pause that followed was comfortable, but it had tension in it. Steam moved across his face like a veil, revealing, softening, revealing again. His eyes kept drifting toward the darker corner of the deck where the light didn't quite reach. Long day? I asked. Yeah, just full. A small word carrying something heavier. He lifted a hand and pressed it briefly to the center of his chest, not checking, just steadying himself. The gesture vanished almost before it happened. You doing all right? Sure. Just been feeling tight, comes and goes. He tapped his chest once without noticing. Nothing dramatic, nothing you'd document. But the way he kept scanning the shadows told its own story. For a moment, the steam split, and he sat there clearly, a man in warm water, holding something unspoken. Then the steam closed again. He didn't look at me. He didn't need to. Some things announce themselves quietly, long before the man finds language for them. And watching him, I had the sense his ground had already begun to shift. You only realize how much later. Chapter 1. From the steam to the story. Men like him are everywhere, carrying tension, minimizing symptoms, telling themselves they're fine. Their stories rarely begin with crisis. They begin the way he entered the water, quietly, controlled, already bracing. Ask how they feel, and they give you facts. Ask again, and you get work, sleep, stress, practical things, none of which explain the drift in their eyes. But wait long enough, and the real story appears in the small details. This isn't about cholesterol or blood pressure or even early coronary disease. It's something subtler, a slow drift away from themselves. It has physiology, it has patterns, and it begins long before symptoms do. Chapter 2. The Quiet Storm Inside the Middle-Aged Body. T. There's a moment in midlife, earlier than most expect, when the body stops speaking clearly. Not pain, not illness, just a sense that things don't run as smoothly as before. Around 50, most men experience a private realization. Youth isn't coming back. They feel it before they admit it. At the same time, the nervous system shifts. Sleep lightens, recovery shrinks, stress sits closer to the surface. The capacity is still there, but the margins are narrowing. If you measured it, you'd see the signs. Nighttime blood pressure not dipping. Heart rate variability drifting down. Cortisol flattening. Glucose settling more slowly. But men don't measure these things. They judge the day by whether anything hurts, and at 50, nothing hurts. It simply feels off. A faint tightness under the sternum, a breath that feels shorter on the stairs, morning stiffness that once belonged to older men. Meanwhile, silent changes accumulate, vascular stiffness, creeping visceral fat, low-grade inflammation, insulin resistance. It isn't aging. It's load carried for years without release. Most men know in a distant way that they're postponing the inevitable reckoning. But as long as the body doesn't shout, they wait. And early heart disease never shouts. Chapter 3. The Disappearing Friendships. Watch 50-year-old men, and another pattern appears: their friendships thin out. Not from conflict, not from intention, just erosion. In their 20s, friends were part of life. In their 30s, scheduled. By 50, their memories managed through group chats nobody answers. Men don't call this loneliness, they call it being busy. And loneliness in men rarely looks emotional. It looks like staying late at the office. It looks like eating with a glowing screen. It looks like silence that has gone on too long. But the body knows. Social thinning has physiological fingerprints. A nervous system running slightly hotter, slower recovery, restless sleep, blood pressure drifting upward almost imperceptibly. And here is the uncomfortable truth: loneliness is not metaphorical. It is a cardiovascular risk factor. The research is clear. Chronic social isolation increases inflammation, raises stress hormones, alters autonomic balance, and carries a risk comparable to smoking or obesity. Men often assume loneliness means having no one, but the most common form is quieter, being surrounded by people and still feeling unseen. You can have a partner, children, colleagues, and still feel stripped of the kind of connection that ventilates your internal world. Loneliness is not the absence of people, it's the absence of being known. Many men at 50 carry type D personality traits, not pathology, just inwardness, inhibition, the habit of containing stress rather than sharing it. Over time, silence becomes their default setting, and silence has weight. This is why a man can sit in a hot tub on a cold evening, life stable on paper, and still feel slightly unsteady in his own chest. Something essential has thinned, and the body responds long before he does. Chapter 4. The Fear Men Don't Name. Fear in midlife seldom arrives dramatically. It shows up in fragments. A breath held too long, a pause on the stairs, a sensation in the chest that disappears before he decides what it was. Men explain these moments away: coffee, stress, fatigue. But something fundamental has shifted. The body no longer feels entirely predictable. Fear often appears at night, the 3 a.m. awakening, not panic, just a sharp awareness that doesn't feel normal. By morning, life continues, but the nervous system remembers. Men start monitoring themselves: heart rate on gentle inclines, breathing while carrying groceries, pulse at rest. They never say, "I'm worried." They say, "It's probably nothing." But the body has been carrying the fear for months, sometimes years. Midlife is when men first understand that the body is not a promise, it's a contract, and the terms have changed. Chapter 5. The system doesn't make this easy. Clinics are built for clarity. Stories like these are not. Once a man sits in an exam room, he edits himself automatically: symptoms, duration, better or worse. There's no box for "I feel wrong, but I can't explain why." So, he trims his story until it sounds medical. "I'm probably fine." And the system often confirms it. Normal ECG. Normal clinic blood pressure. Normal blood tests. Normal on paper, while the man knows something isn't right. He leaves reassured but not relieved. And because nothing dramatic is happening, he waits. Men wait for unmistakable symptoms, the kind no one can ignore. But heart disease rarely begins with unmistakable symptoms. It begins with unease, the exact thing men are trained to dismiss. The system isn't failing them. It simply wasn't built for the grey zone where most middle-aged men actually live. And in that grey zone, early signals fade until the body forces a reckoning. Chapter 6. What actually helps? Change begins smaller than men expect. A walk after dinner, a message sent instead of postponed, a conversation that doesn't need to solve anything. Connection doesn't require depth, only presence. It's the steady background of other people that keeps the nervous system from running too hot. A 5-minute chat, a shared laugh, a nod from someone who knows you, a brief hand on your shoulder, even a warm smile from someone you trust. Small signals, barely noticeable, but the body registers them instantly. Men underestimate how much these tiny contacts matter, but the physiology doesn't. It settles as soon as it senses the load is not being carried alone. The body responds quickly. Breathing slows. Sleep deepens. The nervous system drops half a gear. Then come the basics. Dull but decisive. Movement. Steadier routines. Fewer screens at night. Food that brings calm instead of chaos. Not perfection, just consistency. Alcohol, the evening loosener, complicates things. It relaxes briefly, then steals sleep, raises nighttime blood pressure, and tightens the next morning. It feels like relief. It rarely is. Then comes information, the kind that reduces uncertainty in a simple, practical way, a basic medical checkup. A chance to see how things are actually running, rather than guessing from how they feel. Not a search for dramatic findings, just a clearer view of blood pressure, metabolism, recovery, and the small trends that often go unnoticed. That clarity can be unsettling, but uncertainty is heavier. It keeps men imagining problems instead of understanding their situation. Once you stop guessing and start looking, even at the basics, the nervous system settles. The next step becomes something real, not something feared. The deeper shift occurs when a man gives himself permission to take his own unease seriously, without waiting for a crisis to legitimize it. Most men don't need a new identity. They need space to rest, breathe, and acknowledge what they've been carrying quietly for too long. Often the first sign of improvement isn't a number, it's an exhale that isn't braced. The body improves before the mind believes it. Epilogue. The night, the water went still. A few weeks after that cold evening, I saw him again. Same pool, same hour. Steam rising in slow columns before the wind folded it back. This time he wasn't alone. Another man sat beside him, someone he didn't need to perform for. Their conversation was soft, ordinary. Unforced. He looked different, not transformed, just more present. His shoulders had lowered, his breath carried weight again. His eyes stayed where his thoughts were, not drifting to the shadows. He leaned back for a moment, arms floating, eyes briefly closed, a small thing, but unmistakably ease. He noticed me and nodded. Same gesture as before, but not the same man. Maybe he talked to someone. Maybe he slept, maybe he saw a number that gave him clarity instead of dread. Or maybe nothing dramatic changed. Sometimes the body settles when a man stops fighting himself. Sometimes tension loosens when silence breaks, even a little. As he walked toward the gate, towel over his shoulders, steam trailing behind him, he moved with a steadiness I hadn't seen before. And watching him disappear into the cold reminded me of something medicine rarely says out loud. It isn't always the artery that needs attention. More often, it's the man. The quiet storm inside middle-aged men is real. So is the calm that comes when they stop carrying it alone.
You've been listening to Doc's Opinion. Thank you for listening, and for giving these quiet moments in midlife the attention they deserve. You can find more at docsopinion.com.